Most studio owners decide to open their fitness and wellness businesses because they want to help people and add more meaning into their lives. Their heart is in the right place, they're great people, but scaling a profitable business that feels incredible to own and run is trickier than ever before. So where they get stuck is no one's ever shown them how to run a wildly successful business without the overwhelm and the chaos. Plus, they're doing it all alone. Until now. Welcome to the Geronimo Unfiltered podcast for ambitious boutique studio owners who are allergic to average and know they're capable of more. They're just missing the how. I'm Dozer, your host, CEO and founder of the Geronimo Academy, and together with my crew and my community of owners and managers who are the doers and the implementers, we are on a mission to pioneer a better way to own and operate a health and fitness business while building a life you love, not hate. So if you're ready to push the boundaries, level up your money, meaning and impact, and stop doing it alone, then you're in the right place. This is going to be raw and unfiltered, zero bullshit. So take a deep breath, strap yourselves in, and let's get fucking started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Geronimo Unfiltered podcast. I'm Doz, your host, and I'm here with...
Soph. We're back, guys.
If you've just joined us, Soph's our head coach of our academy. She's the growth... Whisperer, she's the team whisperer. She's the one that actually does the heavy lifting over here at Geronimo amongst the other high performance coaches to kind of work with the owners and their teams to get them into week on week net growth. We're here today because there's been one thing that you've been really working on with studios to help them unlock the next round of growth for their studios, right? These are the same ones that have been pushing for no results. They've got teams, but they're getting no results. It's not for lack of trying or not for lack of ambition, right? There's something not quite right and it feels like they're doing it the hard way. Yeah?
Yeah.
So here's the headline, team. We've never met a happy owner of a high six-figure or seven-figure studio with a team full of casuals.
Yeah. It's like time and time again, we'll see these businesses that maybe they are doing well for themselves, but at the end of the day, they don't feel like they've got anyone who they can rely on. And when they're trying to bring in really exciting initiatives, they are hesitant to do so because it's just going to create more work for them rather than having a team they feel like will really be able to get involved in what they're doing because they're just casuals. That's what they say. So I think that's one general example. And if we were to zoom in on that, then yeah, like we're working with a multi-studio owner in the US at the moment. And they're just the best. I love them so much. They're pushing so hard. But their results have really hit a ceiling at the moment because their staff are all casual. And the staff that they do have, they're reluctantly like doing the things that need to be done in order for the studio to grow faster. So it's like this crossroads of, well, if I want to grow, then I'm going to need to change something about my team. But it's kind of scary to change something about my team when I don't want to like ruffle the feathers, or I don't know if they'll be up for it, or I don't know how. Like, I do not know how. So questions that I'm constantly getting asked is, you know, like, how do you know what kind of team structure you should have to get the best results? How do you, you know, structure things for success? How do you get the right people in the right seats doing the right things? Like, what the hell do they do? How and where do you find them? And then how do you run the team cohesively? Because I think the unspoken truth there as well is like, okay, cool. So if they're doing sales, which was my job, and then they're also rolling those people over into memberships, which is also my job, and they're doing all the other things, and what the hell do I do? Yeah. And running the team is the answer. Or there is also a reality where we've got like one really amazing manager who is running the show, but there's only so much that that one person can install at any given time. So it's going to slow down the growth of the studio if they don't have the support that they need.
So we had a unique approach in our studios. I wanted to build a team. I read the book Legacy and I was like, you know what? I've heard everything I needed to hear. I totally get it. I'm a big fan of sports. So I basically build our team like a sports team. And I think this is where I see a lot of studio owners. They miss some impact with their team. But like just with footy or just with, you know, any sports, yes, we might all be football players, but we've still all got a role on the field. There's a number on our back. That means something. That means we've got a role on the field. And the best coaches give their players a job, a role, what they want them to play in the team. So I was looking at how we kind of operate at the studios and I was thinking, yeah, like, you know, I had a team full of trainers, but I need to give them positions on the field. Almost as if they had a number on their back and gave them a real clear role on the field, which is what we did. That's why we had the starting five, which is basically our core five team. And then we had like the impact players coming off the bench. They're the ones that did the 9:30 slots or the lunchtime specialist. That influenced how we hired, how we designed the roster. Remember how when we were designing the roster, we weren't just designing for availabilities, but we were actually designing for an experience. And not only that, we were designing for conversions because, you know, we had specific people in our team that were the converters. That was their role on the field, to convert. And we never had a session, like we never had a shift rostered where there wasn't a converter on the field at any given point in time. It would feel weird if we went through an afternoon block and you hadn't quarterbacked to the converters who to roll over, and that we didn't get notifications later on that evening of how many rollovers actually happened in that shift.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a mistake that studios do make, is kind of like, rather than operating from a place of what's the ideal and what should I be doing here to design this experience, they're kind of like, oh, who's available? I don't have enough people. So then not only do you not have converters who have been trained, and like, I kind of always talk about that as being like the shift manager, like just as if you were working in retail, you're going to have someone who does the till, handles returns and the complaints and stuff, like a much more exciting role, but like a necessary role is that same shift captain who is able to convert and take care of any of those kinds of things, including conversions. And that those two people actually have chemistry together because otherwise it's a pretty flat session and there's no feedback coming through between each other during that session. And that's your bread and butter. So it's important that even if that person's role is just run an epic session, one, they know how, two, they know that's their role, and three, that there's actually not two quiet people on the same shift, but you've actually got your person who's running the show and then someone who's really technique focused or something like that. So that's what we mean by choreographing the experience.
That's the principle of it. And everyone's on the same page with that. There's not going to be many arguments around that. Let's get into some juice. So on our listeners, they're going to have their pens out. They're going to have their, you know, journals out, or if they're driving, they're going to come back to this. Let's get into some of the meat.
Love to. Yeah, well, I think what we've just alluded to, but might not seem as obvious as it should, is like what this is not, like what the ideal team structure is not. And it's not 16 casuals that can't come to your team meetings and don't know what's going on in the studio and aren't interested in converting, right? So I think that's just one key principle, is like, yes, have people on the team who have played different roles, but we don't need 16 different personalities happening at once.
It's just going to always feel hard, right? Like that is totally the hard way. I know sometimes people might inherit a team that look like that, or, you know, it might feed a narrative around like it's hard to find good trainers, and so you kind of put up with a team full of casuals that all have four other jobs each. But like, we just want to say you're probably doing the best you can right now, but if you're in that formation and you are pushing hard against a brick wall in terms of like trying to create momentum, that way is always going to be the hard way.
And I think something that a lot of owners maybe get caught up on is that, yeah, it's like, well, what if I can't find someone else who's better? Or what if I get pulled into having to be on the floor, or insert anything in here around like fear of failing or losing what they've got? Yeah, like that's a known discomfort, I suppose, because you are putting up with the fact that you don't have a team that is structured in a way that's going to get you faster results. So that's kind of the bargain. Or the deal there. It is totally possible though, and always be open to talent. But one thing usually really resonates with owners is like, you are usually just one good hire away from a lot of things changing, and like having the start of that starting five or core four or whatever it is for you that you really deserve and need in order to move the results forward. So if we were to just suspend any disbelief for a moment and any I can't afford it, I don't know where to find them, blah, 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 blah. That's all valid, but let's just go into the future, the directional kind of like aspirational team structure and setup that we see is the best performance-wise, gives owners the most peace of mind, and the studios that are on the green line in our world, which means that they're growing by net three or more week on week on week on week, the structure that they have is something like this. And this is what we had as well. So from the very start, obviously there's a leader who is good, trying to be great, right? They have the want, they are setting the direction, the vision, they are developing their people. They are probably not masters at, but they have some knowledge on the KPIs and how to hit them, right? So what that might look like is for now that leader is looking after getting the leads through to the next person, who is the salesperson. And that person is responsible for getting those people down into the studio. So at this point, we haven't even talked about what's going on in the studio, but having a salesperson who can attack the leads, be fully dedicated to it, is a hungry wolf, not just a trainer that you kind of like tried to shoehorn into making some sales because it doesn't last long, then that's the first place to start. And we have spoken about, Dozer did an episode on the dual converter framework or structure, and that's one of those elements is a salesperson, right? So we've got owner, salesperson, and then the next stage is, it doesn't need to be a manager, but ideally a manager, head trainer, captain, call them what you want. And they are responsible for the studio operations, like experience, what goes on in there. And specific KPIs are rollovers and retention. So whatever happens from the time that salesperson brings these people in and they walk through the door is on that person to make sure that the team is on point, that the conversions are happening because they're letting the team know that they're quarterbacking the team with what needs to happen in each shift. They're holding a certain standard of studio experience with training, cleaning, like all of those good things. And then you've got your core three or four more who are your part-time. They're doing maybe how many shifts do you reckon does a week?
The main person is probably doing about somewhere between 15 and 20. We rarely see the main person do more than 20, 30 sessions a week, and it lasts very long if they're also in charge of the other KPIs.
25 plus, like you're not in a good place.
Yeah, for long.
Definitely, that's the maximum. So yeah, and then you've got the rest of your team who are running the sessions, who are going to be able to turn up to your team meetings. So you're not just putting up with that. They look at the team notices. If you've got a notice board or something, they are across the challenge. If you're running one, anything that is an initiative that you bring through into the studio, they're across it. And there's a good expectation there that like not all of those are going to need to be converters or want to be converters, but some of them might be able to have that skill so that there's always a converter on shift. So far, if we were to have this ideal team structure with nothing else, we have someone who is bringing newbies into the studio. We've got someone who's turning those people into lifetime revenue and like members, and then making sure that the rest of the team are doing their job at running great sessions, having designed experiences, making sure that the rest of the team is on board with what's going on down at the studio so that they can feed that through to the team. If you think about that as like a really nice way for your members to have an experience of the studio, it feels like a cohesive enough team. They know what to expect. I think a really nice piece here is also that you usually get, you know, your morning people and your afternoon people in terms of trainers, and it's a nice consistent rhythm for your members. They get to build these relationships with your trainers rather than having a new person looking after them every single time. We tended to see that that was like something that was super effective for us.
And so what about all the admin? Who does all that?
An assistant. So a big mistake that I see is that studios, there's a studio at the moment who like they've got a shit ton of leads, but they're trying to get their managers to do pretty much all of the above that I've just listed. And they just want to do rollovers, and that's where they should be. But even when they do get the opportunity to do that, they're being inundated with admin tasks. Get that off their plate. I think this is a massive unlock, and something that I might have said it before, I'm going to say it again, and it shocks people, is I was looking after an almost 350 member studio, and I still to this day do not know how to use Mindbody.
I lost my passwords. Don't
know. Yeah. I don't need to know. Yeah. And the reason was because we had an amazing assistant who was able to take care of that on our behalf. Like we were still telling them what we needed, but they would just process the suspensions, the cancels. Most of the time it was rollovers, giving the reports to us. Any ad lib admin tasks, like someone was like, oh yeah, I didn't get to the rollovers because like I was redoing the schedule. Sorry, like, come on, we got lives to save and change. So definitely structuring that in a different way. And then it becomes such an epic role that you can really hire people that are going to want to have a really big impact on your community because they're not getting stuck down in the weeds of jobs that could really be replaced by someone who is going to be much better at them and a lot more cost effective.
Okay. So I get it in theory. Run me through some examples, Soph, of where you've been working with the studio and they've just been spinning their wheels in the mud and then you've made some of these shifts and then it's the results.
Yeah. The most recent example is, and this doesn't have to be perfect, like you can be on the way to installing this, but one of the most recent examples is two studios in LA who had a salesperson who was also trying to do rollovers over the phone. So way too many people to follow up on. It's not the best way to do it. They were losing out on sales conversions from lead to sale because they were trying to chase people who didn't want to be called and should have just been approached by the manager in studio, right? So they split that focus and I was like, just leads and sales for that salesperson. And immediately it doubled their sales conversion rate, which meant that that gets the party started. Now we've got more people to roll over and actually test the theory of this new rollover process that they've installed and had the time to install because they're doing it at the studio now. So that was one really good example. We've had like two or three studios in the last month who finally got an assistant after like 6 or 12 months of us just saying that they needed one and trying to help them with that, finally got them and have had record revenue months because it's freed them up to be able to either get on the phones themselves or train up the people that they've got in place to do that instead of just doing stuff down in the weeds. I think where that comes from as well, I had an interesting conversation with you, I think it was the other day, about like, I think where people maybe get lost in and the comp that is the admin that they're doing is like, they'll try and install something because you guys want to win and I know that you get it, but then you might fail at that. Something might go wrong, it might break. So instead of trying to go again, because that's a scary thing that you might fail at, it's like straight back to admin because it's a known chaos and comfort. But the moment that we have freed studios up from doing that, it just opens their world. Like they just start to have way better results. They're having time off on the weekend, God forbid, like for the first time in years, and their revenue grows because of it. And I know it sounds like it's too good to be true, but really all it is just strategically putting the right people in the right seats and not expecting people to be good at things that they're not going to be good at. For example, like you put an amazing trainer in front of a computer, they're probably crap themselves. Like they don't want to be doing admin. So yeah, like I definitely see a huge shift when that happens and a relief from those managers who just want to be making a huge impact in their community when they don't have to process all of the like admin side of things anymore.
Can I just add one more example to the mix? A really clear one.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Liv over there in UBX over in New Zealand, who was just like everyone else at the start, like two studios, trying to bring in the leads and do the sales and do the rollovers at all her studios. And the result was, you know, she'd put all this work in, working around the clock. It was never a factor of, you know, whether she wasn't putting in the hard work or not, whether she wanted it or not. Get to the end of the month and they hadn't really grown that much. Yeah. So the shift there was we've placed an assistant in her business. So that freed her up from doing 20 hours of admin or more between, you know, all her studios. She's a multi-studio owner. But the real big thing was we helped her write the ads and recruit her salesperson, Ash, who's a weapon. And then in the first month that Ash started with Liv, Ash made 88 sales in a month and shot Liv up to the top one and two studios in the entire global UBX network. And she actually has more time now to work with us on growing the rest of the business. So the next person that she's put in place is two rollover converters at each of the studios. So now she's got the dual converter framework and you watched like she will be the fastest growing, you know, studio in the UBX network by far. So
yeah,
very simply, it's just making strategic tweaks to your team structure. You guys are high achievers. I know you want to be able to do it all, but you get to a point where you're just going to hit a ceiling and the constraint is going to be yourself and we're going to start to replace you out of the different functions. And the order, I've been through this in a different podcast, but the order that I stick to, and this could shift by sort of one or two, but typically if money is a factor, but you want to make the biggest impact for the money, we start with the assistant, right? You can get assistants these days for less than $10 an hour. Like, you know, if you think about how much you're actually worth to the company, you know, to your business, it's not $10 an hour. So give yourself that instant pay rise. You need to be doing $1,000 an hour activities. So you get rid of that, you get 20 hours back. And from that, you make more sales yourself to get more money in the bank. And then the next person you bring on is probably that salesperson. It's probably that salesperson because they can be remote. Yes, Oath? They can be remote.
Yeah. And I would also add, they can also pay for themselves. Like the first five or six sales they make that week, pay for their base salary and the rest is on commission. And, you know, the more commission they make, the more money you make, actually much more, which is just a no-brainer, especially when it's phrased like that, I think, for owners who in their head are like, I can't afford a salesperson. You probably can.
And then we get down to that second converter at the studio, which again can also pay for themselves because their rollovers, like we've got a bonus structure that we've talked about before, but, you know, their bonuses can be paid out of the revenue that they create in their business as well. And the only difference between high six figures and seven figures is they just might have more converters, to be honest, isn't it? And just a bigger capacity as a business.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, if someone had some rogue question about, but what about my Saturday specialist? Like, you can still have casuals that just fill in for special time slots, but you're not expecting that they're going to get to your team meeting. And I think that's the whole point of having this ideal team structure, because, yeah, otherwise you're trying to win like a big game, but you've got people who don't know what their position is, aren't fully trained in that position, all of that kind of stuff. So this makes a lot more sense. It's going to free people up as soon as they can install it. And I think my favorite unintended positive consequence of this is that it's a lot more stable for your members.
Massively. Massively. If you think back to the fact that we're a relationships business, like, your members want to get to know your trainers. Your members want to trust your trainers. You want to build rapport with your trainers so they feel safe. They can perform. They can, you know, celebrate the wins, and they're going to be here this time next week. Like, your members absolutely want stability in your roster, and your mental health as the owner and also as the manager. I don't think we're going to get any arguments that we want to make life a little bit easier by having a more stable team. So if to sort of wrap this up, to sort of recap this, I want to reiterate that we've never met a happy owner of a high six-figure or seven-figure profitable studio that has a team full of casuals. We want to move it towards having a stable team. So we want to bring in some of those casuals and replace them with more sort of permanent people, like definitely a full-timer and a couple of part-timers. Just get more stability in your roster. But in terms of the actual players on the field and giving people roles and positions in the field, we want you to think back to the KPIs and giving people ownership of an outcome of one of these KPIs. So, as Soph mentioned, we want to have someone in charge of making sure that leads are coming in. Now, that might be you as the owner. I never let that bit go. Yes, in this day and age, you can get someone to press the buttons. That your assistant can kind of actually like do the media buying for you, but you've given them the strategy. You've written the ad copy. You've done the kind of product market fit. That's your responsibility as a CEO, right? As the owner, is you're the chief marketer as well. But you've got someone like bringing the lead flow in, and that might be you. And then you've got someone making sales, and then you give them the outcome of the 30 to 40% sales conversion. You give them the outcome of that. Then you move down to what's happening down at the studio. The model that seems to work best is having that manager, that captain, call it who you want. They're in charge of the in-studio metrics that are rollovers, engagement, and retention, basically keeping the money in the building. And then to create the room so all those people that I just mentioned can stay 80% of their time in the pocket, in the sweet spot of doing what they do best, you bring in that assistant to take away all the admin and that 10 dollars an hour tasks that can be done by someone else. Anything that you do more than once that can be captured and is repeated as a process. I mean, once you've got a process, you've just got to playbook it and give that to an assistant. Now, we've done plenty of episodes on that, so we'll link that in the show notes. But that effectively is the $1 million team structure. And it's that same structure we've seen that work at $5 million studios. And that is the number one thing that you have worked with studios amongst like sales tactics, like, but the number one thing that you work with studios on to kind of unlock the next level of growth, particularly if they're hitting a ceiling, is changing their team formation. And as a happy aside, 9 times out of 10, this is what happens to the trainers, right? And people in that team. They thank the owner for it, and then the owner thanks us for it, because actually it's a bit of relief for the people who were like kicking and screaming, I don't want to do sales. Well, the second thing that happens is that person who you weren't sure is like, you know, aligned or not, on the bus or not, they end up leaving. It was going to happen anyway. At least you've made the right choice and we can move on now.
And it's a relief for everyone, I think, as well. Like, you can all feel it and they're only going to slow you down anyway. So I think having that core 3-4, that whole structure, it just frees everyone up. It allows everyone to be in their genius zone, in their sweet spot. So they feel like they're doing a better job instead of just working all the way through, not knowing whether at the end of the week, if they're on track or not. So it saves a lot of that. It provides a lot more of an opportunity for you to give people things to own that you were doing that's going to develop them. And your A players, your high performers, the people you want to have on your team, they're going to love that development. They're going to love growing with you. And something that I'll add is, as I mentioned before, it starts at the top. It starts with that leader. So a lot of the time, and this happened to Liv as well, she's like, the fuck do I do now? Like, what do I do with my time? The exciting thing is you get to choose. This is your ideal business vision. Now you have the ideal staff structure. A lot of studios opt for growing this thing faster. And relying on their team to be able to grow the business even when they're not there.
Yep.
And so if you are looking for a resource on like where to get started with that, we did an episode on how to be a leader people actually want to follow. And there's a few other episodes on how you can support your managers and set KPIs and targets. So definitely listen to those episodes as well, as they're really, really powerful ways to get started on that.
Great. Let's wrap this one up. So if you can think of three people that might need to hear this episode, please share it with those guys as well and gals, because yeah, we've just seen the relief wash over these owners as soon as they, you know, slowly start to put this formation in practice, and it's the way that they've burst through their ceilings and are growing again, right? Same amount of effort, if not less. So yeah, if you want to help someone else out, send this episode to three people, whether they just be within your network or even outside of your network. Let them know that there is respite at the end of the Hurt Locker over here. So thank you, Soph.
No worries. I want to add to that. There is respite at the end of it. And if you've been doing it for this long without any change and real growth, then it's worth trying things a different way. Step one is just identify who in that ideal staff structure you need first, and then run hard at it, run fast at it. They might already be on your team. And yeah, I think that's everything.
If you've got more custom questions around this, we actually want to hear from you guys. So in the show notes, you'll have an opportunity to kind of like get on a call with someone in the Geronimo team, like one of our growth specialists, and actually kind of bounce some ideas with them, because you're podcast listeners. We're doing that completely for free. So the link to that is in the show notes. Definitely make use of that resource for you, because if it feels hard, you're probably doing it the hard way. That being said, we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
See you guys.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. If something resonated with you, then do one of two things. Either leave a review or send this episode to a mate who's in the industry who might need to hear this. But if you want more right now, because your head might be spinning and you're like, all right, what the hell do I do right now? Then in the show notes, you'll find a link to where you can book in for a free 15-minute checkup on your studio, where we get to have a look at how you're going right now and where some of the kind of quick win opportunities are to get you moving faster. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And if you're listening to this right now, I want you to know that I love you, I appreciate you, I'm grateful for you, and I'm in your corner. You are on the right track, and I believe in you. So keep going, and I'll see you next week.